the She's Becoming Domestic podcast, a place for modern moms to listen, laugh, learn, and love the crazy life she leads. Here's Shanasty and Brad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the She's Becoming Domestic podcast. Another episode, another week. I'm Brad down here in Birmingham, joined by my good buddy, Shanasty Ireland, up in Columbus, Ohio. Shanasty, what's up?
Oh man, Brad, same old. It's just a different week. It's still Groundhog Day somewhat, but I will say, with the weather warming up, I feel like a lot of people are just thinking, guess coronavirus is gone.
Oh, the traffic around here is insane.
Yeah.
I guess everyone has been just throwing the rules to the side, and here we go with the second wave.
Right. Right. Which we're not saying we promote that at all. It's just been interesting because, as the flu season goes out of style every season when it becomes warm outside, I think a lot of people think the same thing. But I don't know. We're seeing some pretty shocking reports out of places like Arizona and Florida, and I don't know. It's not going away anytime soon, as far as I know.
I hear you. Yeah, I've been here home alone. The rest of my crew is down in Florida currently, so I've kind of become Dr. Doolittle, really. You might hear a bird in the background. I talk to the bird. I talk to the cat who's on my back every day as if I don't feed him. And then now the dog, our neighbor's dog, doesn't come around because the kids aren't here. So that's been kind of nice. And then, of course, I always chat up the horse outside.
And Brad, you just have become, Jeff and I were talking about this the other day, because you texted me and said, I'm going to build a horse stall and then we could record the podcast. And I was just like, that is just so not you. This is a whole new persona you guys have taken on with this new life and the new house.
It's really not. And I tell my, I have really told my neighbors, I've given them the forewarning that, hey, just know I grew up in South Florida in a neighborhood with a homeowners association. We didn't mow lawn. We didn't do yard work. So I'm not like Mr. Handy. So, but honestly, Jason, my neighbor, did a majority of the building. I just provided the entertainment.
You just watched, right?
I just watched and learned a good bit, but I watched and learned. So that's good.
That's good.
I want to talk about a topic because I've been noticing this during the quarantine and being around the kids more than ever, is this want versus need culture in an Amazon world.
Great topic.
You know, my kids think because they just hit a button on Amazon on their phone that these magic fairies just bring stuff for free. And you can really get caught up in spending a lot of money with just a click of a button.
Right. I mean, I feel the same way personally. I just think it just appears for free. Every single time an Amazon box is delivered on my front step, I hear the like Celine Dion song, "You're Here." You know that. It's just amazing. Right. It's been really great. But you really bring up such a great point because our kids will never understand what it was like to shop before Amazon or really even before the internet.
Oh, I know. And when we were breaking this topic down, I was telling you how, you know, back in the day, for instance, like our family is, if we stop at the gas station, everybody puts their order in for like a Coke, a candy bar, a bag of chips. With my folks, I wouldn't even look that way. I wouldn't get anything and I wouldn't ask for anything. It was just silently understood.
Absolutely.
So, and I come down as the, you know, the meanie, and they just don't understand. And, you know, just to ask that simple question to yourself, do I want that or do I need it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as you mentioned, I when I told Jeff that we were doing this topic, and he has six brothers and sisters, so that's a very large family. He said the same thing. He said when they would go on road trips to Houston, first of all, they didn't really stop. His mom made sandwiches. They put it in a cooler. There was no fast food stops. Of course, they stopped at rest stops to use the restroom and things, but there was absolutely no drive-through. And my kids now, and I know yours as well, my kids just expect if we're out and about and they're hungry, we're going to McDonald's or we're going to Chick-fil-A. And that's just not the case. And my kids are significantly younger than yours.
Oh, yeah. It's the expectation now. You know, it's what's for dinner? And we're like, well, we're not sure. Well, let's just go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Yep. We're like, no. Because right. Every time the six of us go, it's like $100.
Oh, for sure. Let's just get a pizza. And my kids have gotten, especially Luke, he'll just be like, Mom, we just want to make it easy on you. Let's just go to Taco Bell.
Hey, he's playing the angles early. I like it.
Yeah. But I guess the question is, well, my first question to you when we started talking about this topic is, do they have an allowance? And how does that even work out?
Well, we tried allowance when they were younger. So Kristen, my oldest, is 16. Then Ryan's 14. So let's walk it back 8 or 9 years with allowance. And it worked for a little bit. But honestly, they would rather just sit around and play on the phone than do house chores for $10 or $20 a week or whatever we set it at, which might be like archaically low. I don't know what the going rate for allowance is, but I'm still back in the $20 a week era.
Hey, I'm still at the $1 per tooth from the tooth fairy. Some of these kids come to school and tell my kids that they got $20. I'm thinking, no, my kids get $1. So I'm right there with you.
At $1 a tooth, I don't know how you have not been overthrown as head mother there. That's pretty cheap. I mean, I'm stunned they just don't throw it on the ground.
Right. Oh, they don't know any different. They don't know any different yet.
Yeah, you know who does it? And that's the bird chirping back there. That's okay.
That's all right.
Bird, quiet.
Stormy? Is that the bird's name? I forgot.
Yeah, like everybody else around here, even the bird doesn't listen to me. But the guy who has it down, it's probably because he's old school, is my dad. So he sets budgets with the kids. Like if he takes them out shopping, let's say, hey, you have a $50 budget. You can't go over, you can't go under. And what it's taught them is how to buy stuff that's on sale, which when I was a kid, I was so anti-sale just because for some stupid reason, I thought it was cheap.
Right.
You know, like, oh, if that's on sale, nobody must want it. But they have really learned, and he has kind of taught them that, of how to work within a budget. Or if we go to Disney World, hey guys, the whole trip, if you want anything from me, you have $100 to spend. So spend it wisely. I'm not going a penny over.
Yeah, I love that idea. I actually, and if anybody is listening to this and they're thinking about taking a trip to Disney, when who knows when it'll open back up like normal. But if you're ever thinking about that, that's a great idea. Somebody gave me that idea to just go to the grocery store and purchase Disney gift cards. And that's what we've done for our kids the past two trips. Is we'll just put like $50 on this gift card and hey, when it's gone, it's gone. Because especially at Disney, you could get into the trap of, oh, I need this bubble machine and now I need this. And you could just really blow through the budget. But I love that idea of the budget. And it works for your kids, right? When your dad takes them?
Yeah, he has a little bit more of the disciplinarian in him than I do. I'm a pushover until a certain limit. So yeah, they listen to him about the budget stuff, no problem. But without fail, I'm constantly bombarded. Dad, look at these shoes. They're only this. Dad, look at this new iPhone case. It's only that. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with the one you have? Mm-hmm. So it's been a very interesting change in culture from when we were growing up. And I can't even imagine Jeff with multiple brothers and sisters because, you know, as an only child, everyone thinks you get everything, but you don't.
You don't.
But I didn't get a whole bunch. And so I can only imagine a little bit spread across six or seven.
And totally. I mean, they didn't really go shopping much as far as my understanding is. They were really heavily involved in soccer, and that kind of took all of the extra money that anybody made. Now, Jeff's family did something really interesting when Jeff and his older brother John were younger, and they started a family lawn mowing business.
Oh, nice.
And they put all those boys to work, and his dad actually still has the business. And actually, Jeff would be a great guest for this whole thing, but my understanding was that was, if they wanted to play soccer, they had to earn the money through the lawn mowing business. And that's where the majority of all of that went, was towards hotels, because they traveled a lot. And soccer, like all sports, can get very, very expensive.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I did work, obviously, in high school and things of that nature. So, I had a little spending money. But yeah, that's a great idea in terms of having to do this. You know, when I think about my times of, for instance, like buying clothes, right? Buying clothes meant like, hey, we're getting some clothes right before the school year starts. And then you might get some at Christmas, but everyone hated getting clothes for Christmas. So, yeah, my time to get clothes was like right before the school year.
Same. Yep, same here. It was right before the school year. It was for Christmas, my birthday. And then, of course, if there was anything, I grew like a weed. I mean, I'm 5'9" now, and I feel like I was 5'9" in third grade. So I obviously went through clothes very quickly. But I remember specifically, you know, as you mentioned, an only child, but I remember going to the store with my mom, and I would want something, and say it was something that I probably did need as well. It was like a pair of shoes, but I would throw a fit because I wanted two pair of shoes and I couldn't decide. And my mom, her saying was always one or none, like one or none, that's it. And I remember that specifically. But, and with my kids just being 7, 6 years old, and then Adam, of course, is 3, what kind of makes me sad as a parent is anytime we do go to Target, it's just expected that they're going to go to the toy area and they're going to get something. And I try, and it's, I know for some parents, it could be a form of bribery. Well, if you're really good, we'll get you this. But I try not to do that because I just don't want it to be something that they constantly think of. And of course, I always throw in these guilt trips like, you know, well, when mommy was younger, we didn't have money to go to Target, you know, that kind of thing. We didn't have an internet. My kids can't even fathom not having a tablet. They just don't understand how I went to dinner with people without having an iPad, you know?
Oh, I know. And I was very much in the same boat. You know, we didn't have a lot of money to throw around, and I was a good tantrum thrower, so I got some things. My kids, they can well up too, you know, they're pretty good actors. And, I don't know. I guess one of the faults is I give in probably too easily on want versus need, just because at the end of the day, I want them to be happy. But, at the end of the day, I'm probably not teaching them the best life lesson. So, you know, it's a really interesting balance.
So who do they go to? Do they go to you or do they go to Carrie first?
It depends on the kid.
Okay.
Kristen will go through Carrie. Ryan, because I'll say no a lot. I do constantly say no. Just because when we like I say, when we cleaned out our garage in our old house, I'm like, they just had to have that, and it's sitting in 10 pieces.
Right.
I'm just such a sarcastic cynic. So they don't like when I start getting involved on these decisions, because my first question is, what do you need that for?
Right.
We had a, and I don't mean to bust on college students, but a couple of college students were asked recently at the school I work at, hey, what's one thing to bring? And they were talking, you have to bring a memory foam mattress topper so you can get your mattress just right. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I just showed up and whatever mattress was there, I used, and I didn't complain about it.
Totally.
You know, and I guess it's just a different, it's different. I guess we're getting old.
I think one of the things that we can do, that I try to do with my kids, is right now we're going through our basement. Well, we're going to start. We're going to have Kelly, who we had on the show before, come over and sort through our basement. I cannot wait to show you all pictures of the before and after. I've been embarrassed to show photos of it because it is so, it's awful. It is awful. There, you can't even walk, and our basement's really big, and it's not finished, but you cannot walk through it because we have boxes that Jeff and I had when we lived in Birmingham that we still have not even opened. Okay, that was what, 5 years ago? So one of the things that I'm trying to do is we'll go down to the basement and we pick out the toys that they don't play with anymore. And I think it's really important to teach them to donate and to give it and to give and to share their stuff, because there's lots of little kids in the world that would love this particular item. And I'm just wondering, I'm hoping at least, and I'm not saying my kids will be perfect, but I'm hoping that by teaching them some of those types of things, they'll perhaps better understand the wants versus needs.
Yeah, and I think when they really start understanding the concept of, let's say, money, and that mom and dad or the parents listening just aren't printing it.
Yep.
And then the sacrifice we make for what they want. And I think once they understand that, just like as I reflect back on how hard my mom and my dad worked, particularly my mother, so I could have a Nintendo to play, or I could go do this. So, yeah, I think it'll shake out, but I do think it's important to probably be stern, but also somewhere in the middle, I guess.
Right. And to teach them to be content too. I mean, they don't have to have the brand new everything.
Yeah. And that's my other point is, it's not just like that our kids are greedy, and I'm not talking to you and me, I'm talking to everybody who's listening. It's like everybody else in the outside influence. I mean, they can't scan Instagram without getting a commercial on it.
Totally.
Or when they go to school and you know, Joey has the new iPhone watch, which, hey, that's cool, but that's like a $300 purchase. And there's a lot of outside influence. So it's tough. It's tough to balance it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we were fortunate in the sense that we didn't have that constant reminder of somebody out there on Instagram has something nicer than you.
Oh, yeah. Because that's all they show, right? They show, hey, got the new iPhone watch.
Absolutely. I mean, Luke asked me for an Apple watch the other day. I was like, you're 7.
That's where Uncle Brad says, what do you need an Apple watch for? That's like my go-to.
Right. And that's where Jeff chimes in and goes, I don't even have an Apple watch.
Yeah, right. As he chokes on his drink.
Right. But I don't know. It is a little sad that our kids are going to grow up in a world like that, where it's convenient, there's comparisons, there's less room for contentment because everything that they are flooded with on social media, on the television, on Amazon, on whatever it may be, is always going to appear to be better than what they have.
I think there was a neat benefit, and I don't know if malls will ever come back or be what they were. There was something neat about window shopping.
Yep.
And just seeing it. And then you could talk about, oh, you know, I'm going to get that one day. Then you'd walk off. And then you'd kind of forget about it instead of the, I can get it right now just by hitting this button. And I don't feel a sense of consequence because the bill will go somewhere else for a while.
For sure. And then even if they click on something, or even if you talk about something, haven't you talked about something and then all of a sudden you're scrolling Instagram and an ad comes up for that?
Oh, yeah. That's really scary.
It's scary, but it's so true. So kids could be, yeah. I don't even know what kids are into right now. Like, I don't know. They could just be talking about this tie-dye dress that they want. And then all of a sudden there's 5 different ads for it.
Right. Or anything I order on Amazon, then like a competitor comes through my stream.
And that's another thing about Amazon that we as a society have gotten so used to next day or same day delivery.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible how much remember when you used to order something, you wouldn't expect it for weeks.
Absolutely. And sometimes that still happens if it's coming from China or somewhere, especially in coronavirus world. But I just think that a lot of businesses, online businesses, struggle with competition because Amazon will get it tomorrow. Amazon's going to get it. So, I mean, we have an Amazon shipment place down the street here. So if I ordered something, I could get it in an hour, maybe even less. And it's just crazy. It's crazy that, I don't know, like the other day we were watching Back to the Future Part 2, and I just love that movie so much.
Oh, yeah, great.
And just all of the things in there. I remember watching that movie as a kid and being like, no way you could talk to somebody and see them on a screen.
Right.
And now it is a little funny that they still had fax machines in the year 2025 or whatever it was. But some of those things they say, the mom says something about the fruit and the fruit just drops down from the ceiling. And it's I don't know. Steven Spielberg was a brilliant, brilliant mind to put that movie together. I think he's the one that put that movie together.
It was close. It's Robert Zemeckis.
He's on
that same level.
Okay. Well, brilliant. In regards, yes. I mean, sure, we don't really necessarily have the flying cars, but I just...
Hey, yeah, what's up with that? My gosh, how do we not have a flying car yet?
I don't know. That was...
Gosh, we put a man on the moon in the 60s.
I know. What is up?
I mean, what happened?
This is 2020. Ugh. But... I just wonder, I don't know, where we're going to be 10 years from now.
Oh, I know. Well, it'll be, hopefully we'll be talking to hologram images. That'll be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know why we couldn't have flying cars? Because I think people would just really not be able to handle it and wreck a lot.
Yeah, and it would be, and then there would be this whole generation that just still wants to stay on the road, you know?
It's a big transition.
That is a huge transition. And then there's a lot of people that have a fear of flying, and that's essentially what it would be.
Oh, yeah. It'd be, man, and talk about upkeep. Those things would just drop out of the sky on people's homes.
You run out of gas, it just falls on your head. Or I don't know. I think he just stuck a bunch of banana peels in it. I can't remember. It did not run out of petroleum.
Yeah. Yeah, which by the way, every time I forget something, I just harken back to the line from the original Back to the Future of, I almost forgot my extra plutonium.
Oh, that's such a great, oh, McFly. I love that. I love that movie so much. But yeah, I think that this is a really important topic. I think it's an important thing to start discussing with kids. I mean, I don't know how you discuss it with your kids, how you're able to really differentiate the wants and needs besides just constantly reminding them that they don't necessarily need that.
Yeah, you know, this is where if I had a session with Dr. Claypo, who's been a previous guest and dear friend of ours, my talk is, Dad, can I get this? No. And then it's the discussion's over.
Right.
So I should probably have a better way to approach it. I don't know where I go from here, but it definitely is probably having more open-ended discussions and let them understand where we're coming from. If we're not trying to be mean, we're not trying to restrict anything you get, but we're trying to make sure we can still pay our mortgage and have cars to drive and food to eat.
Yeah, it just comes down to a simple education on money management, which I don't remember learning that in school or by my parents very well. I mean, sure, I knew the basics, but I think we have to do a better job of teaching our kids the value of a dollar. Gosh, we sound so old.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm catching myself here thinking, I'm like, God, I'm sounding like my father.
I know. Oh, man. Hopefully there's no, like, what is it, Gen Zs or Gen, I don't know what generation it is, listening and being like, this is terrible.
These people are really old and crotchety.
These people are so old. Oh, but it's a great topic. I think it's an ongoing topic. I think it's something that we should continue to discuss and think of solutions, think of ideas. And if you guys have ideas, please email us, direct message us. What do you guys do? I think that's a great question to pose to the audience is what do you do to teach your children the difference between wants and needs?
Yeah, because we are on the infancy of this, that's for sure. So it, like you said, it will be an ongoing learning process. You know, buying stuff with your phones is you know, I don't want to say it's relatively new, but it's pretty new in terms of the history of man.
The history of man. You do sound old now. And I know that you have a horse to tend to and a bird chirping in the background. And
yeah, I'm slowly becoming a rancher and a cowboy. So I do have duties that require my attention.
And you're off to Florida, right?
Off to Florida tomorrow, down to Naples. So taking a little time off, so that'll be good. Try to recharge the batteries and get going for the summer.
Awesome. Well, Brad, as always, it's been fun. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.